Certainly great to be with you here tonight. I do appreciate the invitation, the opportunity. Certainly appreciate the kind hospitality that's been shown, not just me, but everyone that's here tonight. The meal was just delicious, and certainly appreciate all that very, very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be with Brother Philip. Been knowing Brother Philip for a long time, and just been looking forward very much to the opportunity to be with him. Tonight I'd like to look at a question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked two blind men, found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. We're told that two blind men followed the Lord, and as he got close, they cried out to him and said, "Lord, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon us." Then they followed him to the house, and the Lord answered that statement. And in that statement, I'm sure it was implied that they'd come to the Lord with hopes that the Lord might heal them and bless their eyes to be turned from being blind to where they could see. So the Lord asked this question. He says, "Believest thou that I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yea, Lord, we believe." And the Lord said, "Be it according to your belief." And the Lord touched them, and their eyes were opened, and they were no longer blind, and they were able to see. The Lord asked this question, "Believest thou I'm able to do this?" Now this question has been asked throughout the Bible in different ways from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 18, we read where the Lord spoke to Abraham after telling Abraham he and his wife Sarah were going to have a child. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" That's really just saying, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" Abraham found out later that he was. We look in Numbers chapter 11, and we find where Israel had been murmuring and complaining, and the Lord is responding by saying he's going to feed them. It makes a statement to them, they're going to eat a month. And Moses goes to the Lord and said, "There are 600,000 footmen here, and you said you're going to give them flesh that's going to last about a month." He said, "Should I go out and slay all the cattle and the herds, etc.? Shall I go out and catch all the fish that's in the sea?" And the Lord replied to Moses, "Is the hand of the Lord wax short?"
Amen.
In other words, am I not able to do what I said? Am I not able to take care of this promise and feed the 600,000 footmen without you catching all the fish in the sea? Without you slaying all the animals? We read in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, a statement by a heathen king. And he said, "All the inhabitants of earth are reputed as nothing. But God works according to his will in the army of heaven among all the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou?" Now this statement was not made by Daniel. It's in the book of Daniel, but it's not made by Daniel. It's made by a heathen king. And he says, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, that's man's depravity. But God works in according to his will among the army of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou?" There's a lot of theology in that statement right there.
Amen.
We look in Psalms 115, verse 3. "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." That's in contrast to the false gods of this world that were made out of gold and silver. They had eyes that couldn't see. They had ears that couldn't hear. They had a tongue that couldn't speak. They had hands that couldn't handle. They had feet that couldn't walk. But he said, "Our God is in the heavens. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." That kind of sounded like to me that God is able, don't you?
Yeah, amen.
So this statement or this question the Lord asked has been asked in times past, or there's been declarations of truth that basically speaks the same thing. Now, over the 13th chapter in the book of Numbers, we read where Moses sends out 12 spies to spy the land of Canaan. Canaan is the promised land. Canaan is the land that God has promised to give to the Israelites. And so he sends out 12 spies. They spend 40 days going through the land of Canaan, and they all come back. And they all come back with the same report. They said, "Oh, this is a good land. It's a fruitful land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. But there are some giants over there in the land. and some great walled cities over there in the land. But we find Caleb speaking up. And Caleb says, let us go up once, because we be well able to possess it. But the other 10 spies spoke up, and they said, we be not able to take it. Now, one of those statements is true, and one of those statements is false. Now, I think you, of course, know which one was true. Caleb didn't hesitate. Caleb didn't procrastinate about the matter. Caleb just said, let us go up once. God knew the giants were there. God knew the great wall of cities was there. He knew all about that land. He'd promised that land to give to the children of Israel. If God had promised it, then Caleb, making this statement by faith, believed that he would give it to them. Again, he says, let us go up, not later on, not after we come up with a plan, not after we get all the people together, etc. Let us go up once, now, because we'd be well able to possess it. As it turned out, the people listened to the 10 rather than the 2. And it greatly displeased God, of course. And you can understand why, I think. Here's God, who has blessed them immeasurably over the years of their history. And now they don't believe that he's able to get them into the land that he has promised them. Regardless of the giants, regardless of the great walled cities.
Amen.
One view is simply by sight, and one view is by faith.
Amen.
Caleb knew the giants was there. He saw the giants.
Right.
Caleb knew the great walled cities was there. He saw the great walled cities. But Caleb is looking by faith, and he's relying on the promise of God.
Amen.
He knows God cannot lie. And so he says, let us go up at once and possess the land, because we not just be able, I like the fact he says, we be well able.
Yeah,
now, Caleb wasn't saying we're able within ourselves. Caleb understood better than that. He knew that their strength was in God. So we be well able to take the land. God had promised the land. God had shown them time and time again in times past that he was able. Caleb believed it, and Joshua believed it. Now, Caleb was a spokesman here for Joshua and himself as well. And they listened to the 10 rather than the 2, and they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. God gave them 1 year for every day. They spied out the land for 40 days, and he gave them 40 years to walk there in that wilderness because of their unbelief, because they did not believe that God was able. That's the question. Believest thou that I'm able to do this? Jesus said, you believe that I'm able to give you your sight? They said, yea, Lord, we believe. What a statement of faith that was.
Amen.
Indeed. Come over here to the 17th chapter, 1 Samuel. And we find where David is a little lad, a shepherd boy. And his father's name is Jesse. And there's a conflict, a war going on between the Philistines and the Israelites. And Jesse sends David to where that's taking place to check on the welfare of the people, and especially his 3 sons. So David makes the journey. When David gets over there, he finds that on one side of the mountain are the Philistines, the other side of the mountain is the Israelites. But the Philistines have a guy by the name of Goliath. And Goliath is between 9 and 10 foot tall. And Goliath has issued out a great challenge. He says, you select a champion of your own, and we'll do battle. And, whoever loses, they'll be the servants of the one who is the victor. Well, nobody had answered that challenge for Israel. Saul himself was not a small man. Saul himself was a man that was head and shoulders above all the people, but I guess he was small compared to Goliath. And Ahab hadn't answered the call. Joab hadn't answered the call. Nobody among the Israelites had answered the call. David's 3 brothers hadn't answered the call. But here comes little David. And David inquires, and he's told what's going on here. And David says, is there not a cause? He says, who is this Philistine giant anyway that has made such a statement concerning our God? And he says, I'll go.
Amen.
I'll go. Well, Saul said, you're not able. Saul said, you're not able. You're just a youth. You don't have the experience. And Goliath, he is a man who's he's been experienced in warfare from his youth up. You're not able. Now, Saul was looking at the circumstances. Saul was looking at the outward and the physical here. But David says, I'll do it. I'll go out. And David reminds Saul of some things that he had experience with the Lord with. David says, I rescued a lamb one time from the paw of a bear to the paw of a lion. Right. Now let's just think about that just a minute. He did not have a rifle. He did not have a shotgun. He did not have a cannon. What did he have? Well, we're going to find out later, I think, he had a sling. But he went out, a bear had got a lamb out of the flock, and he goes and he slays that lion, and then he slays a bear who done the same thing with his bare hands. Now, you might have thought, well, he could have said, you know, I hate to lose that lamb, but this is a bear we're talking about. I hate to lose that lamb, but this is a lion that we're talking about right here. And, you know, what can I do? Well, David's a picture, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many different ways. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and slew death. He slew sin. He slew the devil, who's referred to as a roaring lion, is he not? He came on our behalf to do that. David rescued that lamb just like the Lord Jesus Christ rescued his people, his elect, my friends. So he reminds Saul of that experience. He said, God who delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine giant. Now, notice how many times David uses the name of the Lord. The Lord did this. The Lord did that.
Amen.
David is not boasting of his own power, his own strength. He knows he doesn't have any. David realized it was God who delivered him from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. And if he's going to be victorious over this giant, this will require the Lord to do that again.
Amen.
Now, Saul starts to put the armor on David that belongs to him. Obviously, it doesn't fit. Saul is head and shoulders above all the people. That's why Israel chose him to begin with. He just stood out. David was much shorter than Saul. It just didn't fit from that point of view. That'd be like me putting on the clothes of Shaquille O'Neal. Okay. Now you can imagine how I would look trying to put his coat on, his trousers on. It just wouldn't fit. But it didn't fit for a more important reason. He would be relying upon man. He'd be relying upon Saul, relying upon the weapons of man. And that's not what he used when he slew the bear and he slew the lion.
Amen.
So he took it off. He started putting it on, and then he thought about it, and then he took it off. He said, I've not yet proved this. This is not the way I operate. I operate by praying to the Lord.
Amen.
My manner is to go to the Lord for help, go to the Lord for strength, and that's what I'm going to do again. So he takes it off, and he takes his sling, and he takes his scrip, a little bag you had where you could put things in, and he goes down to the brook, and he selects five smooth stones out of that brook. Now, when I think about this, I think about the Battle of the Esses. What has Goliath got? He's got a sword. He's got a shield. He's got a spear. That's three S's, right? That's man's S's.
Right.
What's David got? He's got a scrip. He's got a sling. He's got five smooth stones, does he not? There's his S's. So the S's go against the S's. David, with his S's, is going to go after Goliath with his S's, right?
Right.
And so somebody says, well, five smooth stones. Wonder why he didn't select more. I think that's just all the bag would hold. I think it would hold five. He put five in there. I used to like to quail hunt. I never did just put one shell in the shotgun. I always put three. You know, not that I thought I was going to miss, but I just wanted to get three of them. But anyway, I think that's all it would hold. And he goes out there, and he takes one stone and puts it in the sling and lets it fly. And by sheer luck, it found the forehead of the giant. Now, you know better than that.
Amen.
I believe God providentially,
Amen.
Providentially directed that stone right to the forehead of the giant. I know David was good, but I'm not sure he's that good. I know David had experience in that sling. That was his weapon out there watching over his father's flock. I'm sure he practiced a lot, one thing and another. But see, that's about the only place of that giant. He had armor all over him from top to bottom. But here's one place right here, just one little place where David can sling that stone. He slings it and he finds the forehead of the giant.
Amen.
Remember what Saul said? He said, you're not able.
That's right.
David believed he was able as long as you relied upon the Lord.
Amen.
and trusted in the Lord, you see. So he just rocked Goliath to sleep. He just rocked him to sleep. The sleep of death, if you please. In the book of Daniel, in chapter 3, there's three Hebrew children. And these three Hebrew children are going to have a mighty test of how, whether God's able or not. The three Hebrew children had disobeyed the king's commandment. He had erected a giant image that was 90 foot tall and 9 foot wide. And given the command that at the sound of a musical instrument, he had about a dozen of them listed there, at the sound of that musical instrument, they were to bow down to that image. But the Hebrew children wouldn't do it. And so the enemy told on them. Then he went and told the king that there's three Hebrew children and they're not doing what you said they're supposed to do. And the penalty for that is they were put into a fiery furnace. The king fallen before him and he questioned about it. And he found out they told the truth about the Hebrew children. Here's what the Hebrew children said. They said, "If we be not careful, O king, in answering you this matter." You know what that's telling me? They're telling me they didn't have to pray about it. Now, I thought you're supposed to pray about everything, Brother Lawrence. Well, yes, you are. But I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to say this. There are some things you don't have to pray about. Did you have to pray as to whether you should come to church here tonight or not? Did you go to the Lord this morning and say, "Lord, I'm having church tonight, and do you think I really want to go?" I mean, on Saturday night, do you pray to the Lord, "Lord, tomorrow's Sunday, do you think I ought to go to church tomorrow?" Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer? I haven't. I learned early on in my life when Sunday came, we was in church.
Amen.
I never have asked the Lord if it was all right if I went to church on Sunday. Why would I pray such a prayer as that? Hebrew children don't have to pray about this. They know it's wrong to fall down to an idol. They know it's wrong to enter into idolatry. They know it's wrong to bow down to this image that the king has erected. They know that. They don't have to pray about it. They said, "We know our God is able. Our God is able. He's able to deliver us out of the fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." One way or another, we're going to be delivered out of your hand. If we die in the fire furnace, we'll be in heaven. We're out of your hand. If he takes us out of that fire furnace, we'll still be out of your hand.
Amen.
We know that. We believe our God is able. Now, they didn't know whether God would do it or not, but they knew he was able to do it. That was the main thing. They knew he was able to do it. And so, sure enough, he puts them in the fiery furnace. It's heated 7 times hotter than normal. And the king the next morning looks in there and he says, "You know, we put 3 in there, but I see 4. And one of them is likened to the Son of God." Now, this is a heathen king speaking, but God has revealed unto him that he may have put 3 in there, but there's 4 in there, and that 4th is likened to the Son of God.
Amen.
And he brought them out of there. Now that furnace was heated so much hotter than normal 7 times that those who cast them in were consumed themselves. He brings them out of there, and the Bible says there's not the smell of smoke on their clothes, not a hair on their head was singed. I remember growing up, we had a great big old barrel in our backyard, and we'd put trash in it. We just burned the trash. We didn't pay to have people come by and take it up. We just burned it. I can remember going out there when the fire was going and throw some trash, more trash in there, and get a little hotter than I expected. Next thing you know, the hair on my arm got singed. The hair on my eyebrows appeared. It got singed. Here's a fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal that slew the people that cast the Hebrew children in there, yet there was not the smell of smoke on their clothes, not the hair of their head was singed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I used to go back when people really smoked. I could go into a convenience store and come out. My wife had said, "You smell just like smoke." But there's not the smell of smoke on their clothes because God made them. In the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel, we find a man by the name of Daniel. And Daniel is one of the most outstanding characters in all the Bible. We find that Daniel had been providentially blessed of the Lord. And he had a very high position, and there were people who didn't like that. And they wanted to do something to try to destroy him. And they said, "We're going to have to find something about his God, because he's doing such a fabulous job running the government, we can't find any fault in him." And so he got the king to sign a decree. And it's always been amazing to me how quick kings would sign decrees. They just signed a decree to drop of a hat.
Right.
Somebody come up and make a request. They just sign it. Just sign it. So he signs a decree. And for 30 days, nobody was to bow down for any other god except to bow down to the king. Then the Bible says when Daniel knew this, the commandment had been written, when he knew that, it says he opened his windows toward Jerusalem and he bowed down and prayed three times a day. Daniel didn't hide anything. Daniel didn't get under the bed. Daniel didn't get in the closet. Daniel didn't close the windows. He prayed just like he always did, three times a day. I'm not sure I'd have been that courageous. I'd like to think I'd still pray three times a day, but maybe I would have got under the bed. Maybe I would have closed the windows, you know, so they couldn't see me and hear me. What? Not Daniel. Oh, no. He opened them windows just like he always. He wasn't going to change a thing. Daniel was not a compromiser.
Amen.
So they come to the king and tell on Daniel. The king liked Daniel a lot. And he regretted he ever signed that decree. He tried all he could try to find a loophole, but he couldn't find it. What the earthly king couldn't do, the heavenly king's going to do.
Amen.
The earthly king couldn't find a loophole, you see. And so he comes to Daniel, but cast him into the den of lions. He says, the God whom thou servest continually shall deliver thee from the den of lions. Out of the den of lions. Now that king couldn't sleep that night. I'm sure he had a king-sized bed. It didn't matter. He just couldn't sleep that night. But Daniel didn't have a bit of problem sleeping that night. Daniel just put his arm around the king, neck of the lion. And I think he probably just said something like, it's time to go to bed, honey. It's just time to go to bed. It's, you know, and then off they went. Off they went. King comes the next morning. Now, he's changed his tune just a little. Yeah. This time he puts it in question for him. He said, Daniel, is God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lions? Now notice, both times he said Daniel served God continuously. Daniel was not a one day a week serving God. Daniel served God 7 days a week. He served him continuously. The king saw it. The king observed it. The king knew it. And the king regretted he ever signed the decree. But the next morning, Daniel's okay. And Daniel says, live forever, O king. I don't know why they said that either. There's some people I don't want to live forever. I tell you, I do not want them to live forever. That's what they said. Said, God sent his angel last night, and he shut the mouth of the lions. Yes, God was able, and God did, you see.
Amen.
In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, the king of Judah is about to go down to battle. And he hires 100,000 soldiers from Israel. And he hires them for 100 talents of silver. And a man of God comes to him and says, do not take these men into battle with you because God is not with these men. Don't do it. And his reply was, what shall I do for the 100 talents of silver? He's worried about his 100 talents of silver. The man of God said unto him, God is able to give you far more than that.
Amen.
That kind of goes over here to 2 Corinthians 9:8, where the Apostle Paul said, now the God of all grace is able to make all grace come to you. He's able to do this. That you always have an all sufficiency and everything may abound in every good work. See, God is able to give you more than this. Don't worry about your 100 talents of silver. Just worry about doing what God said. He's able to take care of you. He's able to give you more than that. And you'll read, not in his lifetime, the lifetime of his grandson, God did just exactly that. God gave him double, twice as much as that 100 talents of silver. I mentioned this one time in the state of Georgia, which I'm liking a lot better than I used to. I just moved there, in other words, to come in Georgia. and not far from Atlanta, believe it or not. And I said a lot of times to the quick people of South Georgia, you know how much I love you because when I come down to preach, I have to go through Atlanta. And on top of that, I had to turn around and come right back through it. So I just moved a little closer to it. What did that tell you? But anyway, I mentioned this in my preaching. And a little bit later on, a couple weeks after that, a brother come up to me where I was at. He says, "You know, I was there that night you mentioned that." He said, "I already made up my mind how much I was going to give that night." He said, "When you said that, I just reached a little deeper." You know, I really like when people reach a little deeper, don't you? When they come under conviction, they just reach a little deeper. He said, "I reached a little deeper, and I put more up there than what I'd already had made my mind up to give." He said, 2 days after that, he's a handyman. He'd done a job, and he charged a man a certain amount, and the man had already paid him. That same man came to him and told him, he says, "Here's $200. He said, "What's that for?" He says, "I don't think you charged me enough." He said, "I've already billed you. You already paid me." He said, "I know that, but I'm going to give you $200 more." He said, "I thought about that. God is able." Amen. Abraham found out, did he not, that God was able? Come to Romans chapter 4. We read in verse 19 where Abraham, being not weak in faith, which means he was strong in faith, he considered not his own body, which was now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Because God had made a promise unto him that Sarah was going to conceive and have a child when she was 90, and he was going to follow that child, and that child was born when he was 100. Says Abraham, being strong in faith, staggered not at the promise of God. Now that's a staggering promise. I think when you tell somebody they're going to have a child and the woman is going to be 90, right, and he's going to be 100, and Paul tells us his body was dead, the womb of his wife was dead, but yet God promised out of that dead body, that dead womb, a child was going to be born in the name of Isaac. Promised child. Amen. He staggered not the promise of God. Let God make that kind of promise to you, see if you stagger. I got it before the church a few years ago, and I told him, I said, "I've got a little master this morning." I said, "I just want to let y'all know that Karen and I are expecting." Well, you should have seen everybody's face. I said, "A grandchild." A grandchild. So he staggered not the promise of God. It says, but by faith, he believed that God was able to do that which he had promised. He promised that God was able to do it. And Abraham believed that.
Amen.
And then later on in Hebrews chapter 11, when it says, when God tempted Abraham, that's when he tells Abraham, take his son, his only son Isaac, to the top of a mountain and offer him. And Abraham did that. He started up that mountain. He got all the way up to that mountain. Over here in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told that Abraham, accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead if he slew his son. He'd already received his son from the dead one time, from a dead womb and a dead body. And he was confident that God would be able to raise him from the dead if he slew his son on top of that mountain.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
God is able. Now, you know, we know by experience every single day that man's not able, right? And the Bible makes that just as clear that he does, that God being able. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They follow me." And it says, "No man can pluck them, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand." That shows how God is able by showing us what man is not able to do, you see. Romans chapter 8 ends like this: "For I'm persuaded that neither life, nor depth, nor height, nor depth, or things present, or things to come, shall separate us from the love of God, not even life or death. And no man is able to separate us from the love of Christ."
Amen.
That's what man is not able to do.
Praise the Lord.
But I'll close with this in Hebrews 7:25, when the apostle says, "The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save us to the uttermost."
Amen.
That sounds like, that's pretty sure, don't you? Amen. If he's able to save us to the uttermost, that means he's able to save us all the way to the end.
Amen.
Now, we was talking about the battle of the S's a while ago, the S's of David, the S's of Goliath. I love this S, a big old S, salvation.
Yeah.
You know what the name Jesus means? It means Savior. It means Savior because He came to save. I'm a firm believer in Matthew 1:21. I believe y'all are too, right? I'm going to battle a limb right here. And I'm going to believe that you believe in Matthew 1:21. When the angel came to Joseph and said, "Fear not to take unto Mary to be thy wife, for that she is conceived the first of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."
Amen.
I love all three of those shalls. That starts with S too. She shall bring forth a son, she did. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, they did. He shall save his people from their sins. He did.
Amen.
He did. That's a big old S. God's S trumps man's S, and man's S is sin.
Amen.
But God's S is salvation.
Amen.
Now, may the Lord secure the salvation of all of his children, all of his elect.
Amen.
And so the Lord asked the question, "Believest thou that I'm able to do this?" How many times have you prayed to the Lord about something? And maybe you didn't really believe he was able. And you might not admit that tonight. But I got to figure you understand what I'm saying. I think you understand what I'm saying. So tonight, let's never forget. It'll help you through every trial, every tribulation, every difficult spot in life. If you just understand that he's able and you believe it all your heart and all your soul.
Amen.